I'm going to ask, anybody who doesn't have their screen on, unless you're absolutely unable to do so, just please put it on so we're able to both see each other and the Rosh Hashiva can also see us, and also make sure that everyone is muted as well. Thank you. Without further ado, Rabbi, please.
First of all, I feel everybody's neshama. I'm not wearing my glasses now, so I can't even see the screen clearly, but I feel it. So the hargosha is definitely there. And the emes is that everything that Rabbi Blass said is true about him. And it's the way I feel about him. That's the only thing that's true about him, is that it's true. It's true concepts about Rabbi Blass, who's really, I consider, when I view his anhoge, the way he acts, the way he treats people, his devotion, his ibegegebenkeit, I consider him my Rebbe, not the other way around. And the Eibush should help. We should be able to be connected. I may have asked him. And Amit Hashem grow together and only have nachas from our families and from Gans Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
I'm going to talk a little bit today about Tshuva and tie it into the limud of Pirkei Avos, which we're concluding now. Rosh Hashanah, the minute that we had, we started already on Pesach, and tie that a little bit together to the Indian of Tshuva and Bechlal to the Avodah of Chodesh El. The Rambam, when he talks about Hilchus Tshuva, he starts off in Hilchus Tshuva Perek Aleph. Kol mitzvah shebetoyra, bein asei bein lo yisasei, im ova hodo malachas mehem, bein bemezid bein bishkogo, or bein bezodim bein bishkogo, so the Rambam, it's very interesting that the Rambam starts tshuva by vidui, as far as obligation. He talks about tshuva as an exercise, a voluntary exercise, because he says, if you repent, that's a lotion, that's not a lotion of obligation. And then he says, Chayiv l'svadris l'fnei okel. You have to do vidur. So all the Mefarshim, the Noisei Klei Rambam, ask this question. What happened to mitzvah's tshuva? And if tshuva is not a mitzvah, how could vidur be a mitzvah? Vidur is a subcategory within Hilchus tshuva. If the tshuva is not an obligation, how could the vidur be an obligation? So there's many, many different explanations. I want to zero into the Meshech Chochma, the Orsamech's approach. I feel that the Orsamech's approach gives us a new understanding of what the objective of tshuva is. What's the tachlis of tshuva? What are we trying to accomplish? And now we'll touch upon Chodesh Elul. Because the avoid of Chodesh Elul, what we're supposed to do during this month, is captured in the Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar with Tkiya Shofar, with the blowing of Shofar. The Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar says that during Chodesh Elul, there's an Indian to blow Shofar. There's a Shaila how in the Girsa, actually, in the Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar, if it's only on Rosh Chodesh, or is it throughout the month, as our minig is to blow Shofar throughout the month. But the Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar brings, what's the source? I'll read you the Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar inside. Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar understands that the source is actually when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai. The final time, on Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, they blew Shofar. The Pirkei said, Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar says as follows. Toikim b'shofar b'chodesh Elul, כאשר מוישה רבנו עולו בפעם השלישית להר סיני בראש חודש אלול, תוקו בשופר. Now he gives a very strange reason why they blew shofar. He says, כדי שהעם ידעו ממוסי למנוס ארבעים יום. We know the terrible tragedy of the first time around, where Klal Yisrael made the mistake, and they counted the 40 days not considering Arboim Shleimim, 40 complete days, and they fell into the trap of Ayara Olam Kiboishis Moshe. And from there the Chet HaEgel came, which till this generation, Chazal say we are still paying off the Chet of the Egel Azot. It was all because of miscalculation. So in order to avoid that reoccurring, they blew it to Shofar. In order k'day shom yedu mimos ha'ilim nois ha'boim yeh. This is the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. And on that, then the Torah continues. He brings the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, and he brings this as a source of why we blow during Chodesh. It's an obvious question that stands out when you read this Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. It's number one, what does Shofar have anything to do with not making a mistake? You want to not make a mistake? Count Sfira. Would have made much more sense. Hayom Yom Echad. L'Aliyas Moshe. And count 40 days. Haborim Tamimos, like we do by Sfira. And then, you won't make a mistake. Blowing Shofar the first day, first of all, according to the Girsa of the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, they only blew the first day. What did that do more than just making a gathering and everybody wishing Moshe Rabbeinu goodbye? Goodbye. Clock in the time, punch it in, and say goodbye. What was the need to blow Shofar? The Torah concludes, and he says, "Val yidei oisay shofar nis'ale hakodesh baruch kemo shenemar olikim b'sruah." That's the pasuk of Hashem b'kol shofar. So now the Torah invites a whole new reason. Somehow that this shofar was like malchus, some kind of form of malchus, that we crowned Hashem by blowing the shofar, and that's what actually lifted up the whole spirit of the month. And then he says, "V'kol achodesh toikim shenema mitoka b'shefer b'yir v'omli." The mashmois of the Torah is that the girsa he had in the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar is the most popular girsa, which is the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. They didn't blow then 40 days; they only blew once. Through that blowing, nis'al Hakadosh Baruch Hu was elevated. And then he says, "The minig is v'kol achodesh toikim." We blow the whole month of Chodesh. That's what the Torah says. That's the minik. We blow the whole month of Chodesh. Question is, so how does this link to, it seems to be totally different ideas. If the Torah wants to accept that we blow Chodesh Elul because we want to be ma'at mis'aleh, we want to crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayhi Bishur Melech, that's the way we crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Makes a lot of sense. Chodesh Elul is the month of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shot Parlom HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His presence is here. Ani l'doy divdoy dili. So we blow shofar. That would make a lot of sense. But then it has nothing to do with the blowing when Moshe Rabbeinu came up to Har Sinai. That was a whole different blowing. That was a blowing that they shouldn't get confused for one day. They should know when to count. But the Torah is integrated. He's not telling us there's a Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says one thing and there's another. He's integrating these two things, which seem to have no relationship, no shaykhus. So clearly, in a sense, the Torah is beginning to give us a perspective to understand the answer to the obvious question, which is how does blowing shofar the first day that Moshe goes up get rid of the problem of us making a mistake? So that's really, I believe, that this sikkum of the Torah is the shayrish of understanding the whole Chodesh Elul, the whole month of Elul. What's the avodah of Chodesh Elul? A couple of years ago in the yeshiva, I actually spoke
about... You have the envelope there. I didn't take it out.
Specific question.
You know what?
I spoke in the yeshiva. I'm sure most of you may remember. I asked this question about what was the mile of blowing shofar on B'nisala. Yeshiva Zarini Tzelchon, I don't know if you guys know, but over there they remember shiur. They remember. Talking about the Yeshivas of Ben Yitzchak Elchanan, the first time I spoke there, it was actually right before Pesach, way into Ben Azman, way into Ben Azman. And even in Ben Yitzchak Elchanan, where they learn past Rosh Chodesh Nisan, even there, I think it was the last night Seder. The last night Seder of the Zman. And it was like 11 o'clock at night, 10:30 at night. And so I figured it was also one of those things where, as Rabbi Blass said, I was in the city anyway. So I looked at it like, you know, sometimes I had dates like that, where somebody would read me a shidduch. And from everything about it, I knew it just not, doesn't sound like my son. But mahak me'mechmeh shigeh, that it's easier to just go ahead on it. Listen, if it's a nas and it ends up being a good date, gevaldik. If not, it's easier than just going the route of having a person call me every 2 weeks for the shidduch. So I would always schedule those shidduchim in such a thing. You know, I'm going in anyway, take care of. I once Nebuch, this was a sad thing, I once had a day where Nebuch, I had two levayas that I didn't schedule, and a date. Two levayas. And whatever, the spirit was the same throughout the day. But when I said, the happens to be that the rabbits and my wife was also such a date, the first date. And Baruch Hashem was obviously the best day I ever had. And she's not listening, I'm still saying the best day. So I went there and I figured how many guys are going to be in Rabbeinu Yitzchak Yochanan, 11 o'clock at night, the last day of this man, like, I don't know, Yud Nissan. What is the Rabbi Blas? What is the last day of this man there? Nissan.
We never take breaks. We go straight through Pesach. The guys just, they refuse
to leave. It wasn't the night of Pekasun.
Probably a couple nights before then.
It was maybe Yud or Yud Aleph.
Right.
I don't know the exact date, but it was literally a couple of days, a couple of nights before Pesach. It was packed. The room was packed. And it wasn't because of me. It was packed. It was a pack that the oil was. And the spirit of learning, if I was a bocher still, I would have enrolled in the yeshiva if they would have accepted me. So the other one probably remembers that I had this last question I had asked some years ago, that why did they blow? What did the shofar do? As far as counting, it's not. Shofar has a lot of purposes, right? It accomplishes a lot of different elements. It's celebratory, right? It could be used in a celebration. It's used the b'tzara tzoyer. Shofar is almost the most varied type of tool to use as far as its effect on the tzibur. But as far as counting, what kind of minion is that? Which is why I felt the tour concludes by saying, it wasn't just Stam to let us know this is when Moshe went up. There was some other objective to be accomplished. What was that objective? Pirkei Avos. So Pirkei Avos is such a pella. The whole concept of Pirkei Avos, of the fact that we do it after Mincha, or between Shal Shudas and Ma'ariv. Oh, we do Pirkei Avos Dafka in the summer months. The Ramah seems to say the reason why we do it, if you look in Shulchan Aruch here, the Ramah brings down that the minig v'noagu shaloi l'gvoya medresh bein mincha l'mariv. That's what he says in Reish Tzadik Beis. There's a minig not to learn between Mincha and Ma'ariv on Shabbos. Right? I think some people have a they do toisvus to this minik. Right? The minik is only between Mincha and Ma'ariv, not to learn. And he says, Avo oimrim Pirkei Avos. What we do is we say Pirkei Avos. Avo oimrim Pirkei Avos. And he says, B'kayitz v'shiva malas b'chayitz. So the way the Shulchan Aruch brings it down is very similar to the way when I became a Rav. So I was still a Bach, I had just gotten engaged. I was a Chassan when I got the Shteller. So one of my friends from Lakewood, his name was Mordechai Barkani. So he met me, and he knew I'm a 23-year-old Chevroman. He said, how do you deal with all the covet of the Rabbonis? I said, let me tell you the covet if you want to know what the covet of the Rabbonis is. So I'll tell you the covet. So the covenant is like this. My second or third Shabbos in the neighborhood, there was a kiddush from the other shul. I mean, the whole neighborhood was with 40 people. It was a tiny neighborhood. But there was another shul. There was a kiddush. Somebody had a baby. It was a kiddush. I went to the... No, it wasn't actually. It was actually a bar mitzvah. It was one of the older people. And They asked me to come to participate. So I can't participate. And then the guy asked me if I could stay for lunch. So I was a single guy. So I'll stay for lunch, no problem. You know, Yeshiva Bachur is okay for stay for lunch. Stay for lunch. Okay. You know, the caterers have to always clean up from Kiddush. That's always that time that you have to. So the guy comes over to me, he goes, Rabbi, I know you weren't on the schedule. Can I ask you for a favor? I said, sure, no problem. He says, the caterer just came to me with a prop. He said, it's going to take him a half hour now to clean up the Kiddush and to set up lunch. So he said, could you maybe find a way to kill a half hour of time? So I'm looking at him, so what's the punchline? He goes, so maybe the rabbi could do that for us. So that became my title, the time killer. I am the Hefta time killer. So that became my mission. So I told him, that's the covenant. So if you want, you can take the covenant. I didn't want him to be able to, I think this took away his loisachmite. He wasn't jealous. But the way the Shulchan Aruch brings down the minhag of Pirkei Avos, it sounds like that. Sounds like he can't learn for whatever reason. Therefore, you know what? Chaparein abizal Pirkei Avos. In the wintertime, you could do some shiramalas and Pirkei, you know, kill time. Do something. But it's a pen. The minhag not to learn, if you look in the Kadmoinim, already the Goinim, is because Moshe Rabbeinu died. And the Gemara says in Moed Kotel that if a Rav Shemes, if a Rebbe dies, you mavatal the Beis Medrash, they shouldn't learn Torah because the Rebbe died. If a Rosh HaBezdin died, so the whole city, which is under his jurisdiction, is mavatal during that time period of mourning. And then if it's a Nasi Shemes, whose net is Klal Yisrael, so Mevatlim Kol Bota Medrash. Everything gets involved. So since there's a Mesorah that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos, which isn't Muskim, not everybody agrees, but there is a Mesorah like that Moshe died during this time. And that's why we say it's a Koslo by Mincha. That's why we say Mizmor L'David, Hashem Roi Lo Yechzor, because we lost our shepherd, we lost the Roi Yisrael. So we say Hashem Roi Lo Yechzor. There are certain Minhagim that come about with that idea. So the minhag is not to learn. So then how are we doing Pirkei Avos? We're not supposed to be learning. Why are we doing Pirkei Avos? This is not my question. The Shaar HaTzion, the Mishnah Berurah asked this question. And the Mishnah Berurah says that we learn Pirkei Avos. Is that we're not really learning. We're just Amira Ba'alma. If you look here in the Shaar HaTzion, he asked the question, and that's his answer. The Efshar, Mishum Shepirkei Avos Ein Loim Demoisei Kimoi Shaar Kol Halimudim Ela Oimri Moisei Ba'amira Ba'alma. To me, I have to tell you, this is the most difficult Chavetz Chaim in the entire Sefer Chavetz. That's how you do Pirkei Avos. You just medavin tzom, you just say it. The Maharal Meprag, just to give you the opposite, the Maharal Meprag writes that the reason why we learn Pirkei Avos in the summertime and not the winter, the Goyen, the Vilna Goyen gives a different reason. The Maharal says, because Pirkei Avos is so intense, the opposite of the Mishnah, it's so intense that the Gemara says in Tainus that when a Yom Demitra, when you have bad weather, your focus is not as good. You can't learn with the same focus. So he says, to learn Pirkei Avos, you need maximum focus. And that's why we do it dafka b'kai, it's not b'chorev. The opposite of Mishnah. Not only with not doing it Amira, we're putting our whole neshama, including the part of our neshama that in the winter is distracted, we're putting it into the Pirkei Avos. Mamish, the opposite idea of what the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying in the Shaar HaTzion. The Yaivetz says even more than the Maharal. He says, why do they learn Pirkei Avos only between some places, only do it for Pesach to Shavuos? He says, because after Shavuos it gets very hot. And even that disturbs the focus. So, Bekitzer, Tokfei Kohen, you could learn year round. Okay? Kagore Lud and Ezel and Eshach, no problem. Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifri, Sifro, that you could do all year, the storm won't stop you. But Pirkei Avos has to be 72 degrees Fahrenheit. Not too windy. It's got to be perfect. So it's a quite different position than the Mishnah Berurah. Position is that you need the maximum clarity because of how intense this limud is. So if that's the case, it's a shtickle of kliya. In fact, we're not learning because it's Moshe Rabbeinu's p'tira. So why are we picking a limud which is so extensive and so difficult, which we have to throw everything into? So there's a Maaser Rokeach. The Maaser Rokeach says what I would call a half answer. I mean, he's giving us an answer that we have to develop. His answer is, because his answer really is, you can ask a question on his answer. His answer is, Pirkei Avos directly connects to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Pirkei Avos starts, Moshe Kibel Terumisimah. So there's a connection. So it's almost like we're celebrating Moshe's life. The reason why we're not learning is because Moshe was Nifter. We can't be distracted like Nosi Shemes, but at the same time, we want to learn Pirkei Avos because it has Moshe's name, Moshe's initial on it. Oh, come on. Moshe's initials on Kol HaTorah Kula. So the fact that Pirkei Avos starts with Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai is not an answer, it's a question, which all the Rishonim ask. Why does Pirkei Avos start with Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai? More than any other Masechet in Shas. If anything, Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai would be an appropriate introduction to Masechet's Brachos. As a preface to whole Shas. Not as a Hakdome to Pirkei Avos. There's all kinds of Tirutzim to this Kasha. The Rishonim is the Kasha. The Meiri, Mogen Avos, the Rav Mibal Tanura, many ask the question, Gedolei Achronim. So that answer doesn't really help us because that answer itself is a question. Like that answer is a question. So what's going on here? So I'll tell you what my possible thought is. Let me read you the Meshech Chochma in Parshas Vayelech, the answer the Rambam in Ilchus Tshuva, that the Rambam doesn't count the first stage of Tshuva as a mitzvah, but rather only once you're doing Tshuva, how you do Tshuva. So here's the Meshech Chochma. Fascinating idea. And it's a Kiddush that before him we haven't said it. Rabbi Yashavel, Ratzal has a similar idea. But Meshech Chochma says like this: Oma b'yoyim ahu, going on the pasuk in Parshas Vayelech. Perek lamid aleph pasuk yizayin. Oma b'yoyim ahu, aloi kiyin aloi kai b'kiyin. Mizboinen, he says, the shem tshuva kifi shemor v'shmo, eino nechsheves l'mitzvah. Listen to what he says. He says it's not a mitzvah. You know why it's not a mitzvah? Well, the reason why it's not a mitzvah. He says, Shaharei aloi b'loi ha-mitzvah mitzuvi v'oimet. Libli lavo
Rabbi, your volume just went off. Rabbi, your volume just went off about a minute ago. I think Rabbi's muted.
Are we better now?
Ah, perfect. Start from the beginning, Rabbi, please.
Where did I cut off?
From the beginning, just go from the. You said something about their blast before. I forgot.
My blast is a murder that you did of mine.
Just from when you mentioned Rabbi Yoshever, from there.
Oh, okay. Read the Meshech Chochma in Parshas Vayelech says as follows. He says, Nizboinen, he says, the Shein Tshuva Kefi Ma'ashe Moira Shemo, he says, Ein Achsheves L'mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. He says, you know why? Haloi B'loi HaMitzvah, B'loi HaMitzvah, even without the mitzvah, Mitzuve V'oimeg L'vli L'avo Al Mitzvah Hashem. He says, let's think about this. Let's analyze it. Let's say a person's chet is Lashon Hara. And he, Rachman al-Litzlan, he spent years talking Lashon Hara. So now, he has an obligation to stop that behavior. You know what? We don't need a new mitzvah to tell the person, stop talking Lashon Hara. The Loisei Lechlochu Ba'amecha on its own obligates you to stop talking Lashon Hara. So the first step of tshuva, that concept, conceptually, that a person has to be shoved, they have to return, that's not a chiddush. Not only it's not a chiddush, it's built into the mitzvah. It's built into the mitzvah itself that you went against. The law that you went against. Built into that mitzvah is that you have to change. Because nothing changed the fact that you did the Aveira. The Aveira didn't make that thing any more muta. So of course you have to do tshuva. So he says, therefore tshuva is not a mitzvah. He says, Haloi azoru yishoyna amineh aso yisoy mechatoi terem shechoto hu gam kein meinah aso yisoy achshav. So it's the same thing. There's no difference. Omnam, he says, what's the mitzvah of tshuva? V'svado yisu l'hagin l'fnei Hashem yisboch ki yedeh ba'atzmei shechoto u'mevakish u'mevakish kapot. So basically what the Meshechotam is telling us is of course avadid is a mitzvah chiyuvis of tshuva. But the step one of tshuva, which is stop doing the bad behavior, repent. That's of course, that's inclusive in whatever avera you did is still standing in your way. Just like it was when you originally made the bad choice. Nothing changed. So then tshuva starts from when you're returning from that. Now there's a methodology and there's an approach that you have to take in your new life, as you want to call it, in your new life. So that's where tshuva kicks in. Tshuva's not there to tell you, hey, improve. But I want to go now to the next darga, to the next level. So what is that exactly? So then what is the mitzvah of tshuva? What in fact is the mitzvah of tshuva? And I think that we could say very simple. Lo nitna Torah liYisrael ela kedei letzarfa. There's endless mamori chazal along these lines. This is not the exact phrase. There's different phrases in chazal. The idea is that all the mitzvahs of the Torah were given to us to make us complete people. That means sometimes we could see it directly, like the Rambam explains in the Shemoneh Prokim. Sometimes the mitzvah itself, goodness is every element of the mitzvah. Bikur cholim, voyas hameis, nichum aveilim. You understand that by doing that kind of behavior, all the mifal kafi pulois, like Chinuch says, you understand that that mitzvah is making you complete. But even the mitzvahs that we don't understand in that way, they were also given kedei letzarfa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this world for us to perfect ourselves, as the Sefer HaChinuch writes. That's what we're here for. We're here to perfect ourselves. That's the Tzelem Elokim that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us. And that's our avoda, is to be mashlim ourselves. And every chet that we do is going against, really, our mission statement of creation. That's just a mistake. You're going against your tafkid abriya. And that vessel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you to improve, you're destroying with chet. So when a person does tshuva, it's not a question of, I have a violation, I have a prison sentence, I have to take care of it. It's a question of fixing that which you ruined. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us tshuva, what he really did was, he gave us a form, and now we're living in a world where Nebuch, we're dealing with ongoing infection, and so many medical centers are working 24 hours a day on different therapies, vaccines. Tshuva is a God-given therapy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to fix the damage. And that's why when the Rambam talks about tshuva, he says, G'doyla tshuva. Tshuva is so great that esmo lo meshukos. That's a therapy, what the Rambam is saying. That yesterday you were despicable, and today you're a re'ov. You've bettered yourself. It's not a question. You had a chet, you had a problem, you had a violation, you had a prison sentence. It's much deeper than that. For that, you don't need the mitzvah of tshuva. For that, you don't need the mitzvah of tshuva. The mitzvah of tshuva is a God-given gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to fix the kilkul of chet. That's what tshuva is about. To change ourselves. And that's why the Nevi explains that when the Balei Tshuva would do tshuva, they would do a Shinei Hashem, they would get a new name to show their new people. That's a question of, I got rid of my sentence. I'm renewing myself. And for that, there's a process. That renewal requires the process of tshuva. And that's where the mitzvah of tshuva comes. The chayiv, lezvadas, is basically chayiv losaken satsma, in English. Chayiv losaken satsma. You have to fix yourself. Every chet is a kilkul ha'adam. And once you've engaged in that, you need to do tikkun on it. And I understood that when the Rambam says in Perek Beis, Yardol of Yedea Talmud Mishal Yoshev Lezachet Lo'ilam, which everybody asks, how can you ever do tshuva? That's like telling a guy on a diet, you know, you have to be made, you'll never gain the weight back. Everybody knows it's wrong with Taylor. It's wrong with Taylor. Right? How many of you went on a diet and didn't gain any weight back? I'm not looking at anybody but asking. Who the Rambam says, Yorol of Yedea Talum Shal Yoshev Lezachet Lo'ilam. The explanation, I believe in Rambam, but this is why I always explain the Rambam. The Rambam is not putting the bar so high that everybody just feels like quitting before you start. That's not what the Rambam is doing. It's the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is made Shal Yoshev Lezachet Lo'ilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you tshuva, and through tshuva you fix yourself, and your creator will testify that you will never return to this. You may make a mistake again, but it's not going to be because you're inherently a makuko, and you just went back to where you were. It'll be a new chet. You may mess up again, you're human, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is made on you after tshuva. You have a clean bill of health. You're in all of your dead elements. You've been renewed. You've been cleansed. So Elul really and Shuva is a time for us to focus on change. Changing who we are. Changing our priorities in life. Because if you're looking to be the same person that you've become from Chet, just minus the Chet, you missed the boat. If you're just looking to get rid of the chet, you missed the boat. What you're looking to do is to get yourself back to the place that you were before that chet. Not you're looking to unload the chet. You're looking to get yourself back, rehabilitate yourself to where you were before. That's the objective of tshuva. I was just telling the Talmidim, I was giving Shir and Dalad Minim today in the yeshiva. And I was talking about, you know, there's Dalad Minim and the Chassam Sefer's Chiddush that, you know, if you have an Esrig that actually changed colors based on using it, so the Chassam Sefer says a Chiddush that the Esrig is still called Chodah, still kosher. So that's the Higger that, you know, that you use it for a mitzvah. It's a chiddush to chassam sefer. You know, a chassidim won't be a chiddush to say such a thing. In bells, they say, in the old Varan bells, the ester will turn black by the end of Sukkot. From the amount of people that use it. So by the chassidim, it's partial like that. But the chassam sefer is a chiddush. That he says in the modar halacha, that an ester that got brown from using it is mehudar. It's tremendous. So I was telling the boys, respectfully, they shouldn't rely on this chassam. I said, today, we can't rely on this chassam. I said, you have to realize the chassam sefer came from a different vintage. Came in from a world where getting an asterisk was an uphill battle, just to get an asterisk. And I told him an unbelievable story. And I said, really, that's what tshuva is, to try to get yourself closer to this story. I said, there was an older woman. She was an almona. Her name was Horowitz. She had a son who learned by the Brisker Rav, a Talmud of Brisk. And then that boy ended up living in Brisk. And even if he was already working, he was a balabas, he lived in the city of Brisk. And he wasn't happy that his mother, who was a widow, was living alone. In Kvel, in her town, hometown, she's living alone. It bothered him. So he went to his Rebbe, the Brisker Rav, and he said, perhaps you could issue a psak that my mother has to move. And she's a good litvisha lady. If I tell her I have a psak, the Brisker Rav said, you have to move, she'll move. So he went to his Rebbe, but you know, Brisker Rav, you can't manipulate it. He says, psak, kenish kenish psak. So he starts a hambam. You be a hambam, but your mother has to move from Kvel to Brisk. I'll give a psak. There's no such a hambam. He said, but I have an eitzah. When she comes to Yom Tov, bring her into me, and I have an eitzah, I think I can get her to move. So the old woman came to her son, and he brought her into the Rav, and the Brisk Rav looks at her and he asks her one question. He says, let me ask you. Will you want your son to have a Arichas Yom? Do you want your son to have a long life? Of course she said. Of course. A Yiddish Mama. That's her dream. Should be live long and healthy. He said, I have a simple answer for you. I have a simple solution. He said, the Torah says, Kabi de Savicha Vesimecha, Oman Yarichon Yomecha. If you're living in Kfel, and your son is living in Brisk, he has very minimal opportunities to be to Kibbut Aveim. But if you move to Brisk, he'll be able to do Kibbut Aveim every day. He'll live long. The Brisk Rav thought he had a slam dunk. Home run. So the lady looks at him and says, Rav, I accept the Rav's psak and advice blindly. But I have to share with the Rav first why I live in Kvel. Why am I being insistent to live in my city? And if after I tell you why, you agree, then I'm okay. Okay. She tells him. She says, fact is I'm an almona and I have nothing in Kvel. So why am I living in Kvel? She said, a couple of years before my husband died, my husband and myself, we lived a very poor lifestyle. We never had our own esrog. One esrog, we used the shul esrog. And we couldn't take it home. We couldn't say hallel with it. Our dream was we should have our own lulav and our own esrog. It was our dream. It's my husband's dream. So we spent years putting away pennies. Nachar rubel. We went to sleep hungry at nights, that we'll be able to one day buy an esrog and lulav. Can you imagine? Even that sight is hard to envision. Hard to envision. You know, you're sitting by an esrog, buying an esrog, you look at that one. At 75, I'll take the cheaper one. You know what I mean? You have a credit card that you spend $75 on a Starbucks coffee. Cannot. But you know, this is a couple that spent years going to bed hungry to get a dollar meal. So they went then to the city where they used to buy the esrogim. And they went to buy it. They picked out the beautiful esrog and the lulav, and they were so excited. They were still short when they came to pay. They were short. So the older couple went to the stoop of the store and just started crying. What's your crying? What the game of hell? How long you can cut it to? What's your crying? Crying? They can't have the dollar meaning. So the lady tells the Brisker Rav, then a thought occurred to me, and I told my husband, it's true, we've exhausted every penny we have. But we own an apartment, the apartment that we inherited, that we live in. We could sell that. And then for sure we'll have ample money. We could have an Esrog this year, and we could probably have another one for next year too. The husband said, I could never do that to you. My chiv ksuba, to support you, to take care of you. I can't sell you. She said, what do you mean? Ah, that's what I want. And that's what they did. They went back, they sold the apartment, they had the minimum. She ends the story, she says, Brisker Rav, I lost everything. My husband's already in the Olam Emes. I have no money. She said, but every morning I take a walk. And that's why I get my chizik for the day. Where do I walk? I walk down that block where my apartment used to be. And I look at the apartment. And I say, ah, Hashem, thank you for giving me the opportunity that I was able to sacrifice an apartment for your mitzvah. And that gives me the chizik to go through another day. And I do that every single day. Imagine. I said, that was that door. That's pshat, having the right priorities. That's, so when we go through Elul, our job is not to unload averus. That's nichlal, like the Meshech Chachma says. The same law that told us not to do the averus tells us we got to get rid of the averus. Our job, Elul, is to get closer to those prayers. To the right priorities, to cry over a mitzvah. If you hurt another Jew, oh shucks, you know, I should have, maybe I misspoke there, maybe I made the guy feel bad. Cry! Cry! Feel it, it should be part of your neshama. That is the avoid of Chodesh. When Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come down after 40 days, and we did the Egel Azov, that wasn't a miscalculation of days. Of course it was a miscalculation of days. That's not what made us do the Egel Azov. We were messed up on our priorities. How we ended up with the Egel Azov. If when Moshe went up to Shemayim, our priorities would have been where they should be, we would have ended up with the Egel Azov. But then a miscalculation, say a kapitel tehillim, he should come back. How do you end up with a gold calf? That's because your priority was off. Your priority was off, not because you miscalculated. The miscalculation is happens to be the way it evolved. That's not the issue. We didn't have a calculation issue. Somebody asked you, capture the chet of the Egel Azov. It's not miscalculation. If that was the chet of the Egel Azov, then when Moshe went up the last time, we would have done Sfira, so that we got our counting straight. It wasn't a counting issue. It was having our priorities right. If you have a priority right, you don't have a chet of the Egel Azov. The chet of the Egel Azov comes when you don't have your priority. So what they did was, at the beginning of the month, they were manu HaKadosh Baruch. Says the Torah, Umei Oysay Shofar Nis'ala HaKadosh Baruch. HaKadosh Baruch was Nis'ala. And that's why we wouldn't end up with an Egel Azov. And that's the idea of Blooming Chodesh Elul. To change our perspective. It's not to get rid of chet. To get rid of chet is memela. It's to change who we are. It's to try to be different people. To try to appreciate different things in life. It's to despise the things that are wrong. That's the avoider. That's the avoider that we're in this world for. My boy said that's Pirkei Avos. I'll just end with this. Ooh, it's late. It's okay, just two more minutes. The Gemara says in Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. The Gemara says, "Remez l'Moshe min haTorah minayin." Famous Gemara. How do we know Moshe? Remez l'Moshe min haTorah. The Gemara says, "B'shigamu b'osla." That's the remez for Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara there brings down a remez for many different things. Ishei Tanach. Remez l'Mordechai min haTorah minayin. Remez le Esther min haTorah minayin. Right? There's all different remozim where we find Ishei Tanach. Some of them are tzaddikim, even Rishayim. The Gemara will have to look so remez for Haman min haTorah. Right? But then the Gemara says, Remez le Moshe min haTorah minayin. Moshe? You need a remez to Moshe? There isn't one parasha except for parashas Tesada that doesn't have Moshe's name. I brought out a Jew that it ended up the Teal of Paradise made a grand counting 647 times. Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned in the text. That means counting the Lim Moshe and Kim Moshe, all the Moshe's, 647 times. Somebody did a computer check. Wasn't 647, it was 649. They thought they chapped the Teal of Paradise. Right? This is the Teal's Paradise, what he says, the end of his life. They thought they chapped him, but they didn't chap. They didn't chap. Because the computer is only that smart. Right? I always say, computer check, when they started with the computer checks, I was asked by my Talmidim, do you have a chiyuv to use a computer check? I said, no. It's a good thing, nice thing. I said, you're not chayv. But one thing I'll tell you, if you only use a computer check, it's not as good as a sefer. So one of my Talmidim said, he said, Rebbe, the computer is 99.9% accurate. And the human being, even on the sefer mumcha, is 96%. So how can I argue with statistics? My name is not Trump. How could I argue with the facts? So I said, it's not a kasha. I said, the Torah was machshir, a human being. A human being, the Torah gave the mitzvahs based on a human being, based on what the naked eye sees. That's why a bug that's not, that you can't see, is not a bug. I'm not interested when they bring me these microscopic bugs. It's not a bug in halacha. It's kosher l'mahadvin. A microscopic bug is kosher l'mahadvin. Right? So, because we don't go by that. The Orach HaShulchan says if you have a Sefer Torah and two letters look like they're touching, and you take a magnifying glass, you see they're not touching, it's still possible. Because it goes by the eye. So I said the Torah wasn't master of the computer. And Baruch Hashem, David remembers, who is David? David remembers, there was a Maisa 10 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, and I have to say I was mamish excited when I read the story. The guy was reading the Ksuba on the Chupin. So the guy's reading the Ksuba. Plenty of Shabbos. I mean, even a Masada Kedushin is a little drunk would notice Moshe V'Yoychanan. What's going on, Moshe V'Yoychanan? Anyway, so the people under the chuppah thought he just made a mistake. He misread. They said, no, Moshe V'Yisrael. He looks, he goes, Moshe V'Yoychanan. It was Moshe V'Yoychanan. What happened was, it was a computerized tzubit. The chosin before, right? His name was Yisrael. This chosin's name was Yoichan. So they put into the program, whenever you see Yisrael, change it to Yoichan. So Kedash Moshe the Yoichan. So a computer is a computer. It's still not a person. Right? I wouldn't change 1,000 of them for one person. It's not a person. So the emesis, so when they did this counting of Moshe Rabbeinu was 649, they were counting also in Yimot Habayis Niseh, which is in Parashas Boy, and there it's talking about a sheep, not a human, not Moshe Rabbeinu. And the other one was in Parashas Re'eh, Kol Baal Mashe Yodoh. Nothing to do with Moshe. So the Teal of the Paradise was right. Computer was wrong. So Moshe, 647 times Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned. So he needs a remez? He needs to be hinted? What's going on? But the pshat is that the Gemara is telling us what is the lesson of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Tiferes Yisrael brings down a Medrash. That it's a big, very controversial Medrash. Because the Medrash says that they took a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. This king took a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they studied the photograph. They thought that it wasn't a photograph, the picture, the portrait. And they studied the picture. And the mumchem, who knew how to study a picture and basically, based on that, conclude the person's characteristic. They came out that Moshe Rabbeinu had midas rois. Midas rois. He had bad character. That was the
get this don't believe it.
So this was very controversial, you know, because today they like to make Gedolim sound like they came out Gedolim. That godly was born, he came out with a little shas. The doctors were bewildered. How did the shas get into the womb? came out with a Shas. If he's more American, he came out with an arts book. But this is what the Tiferes Yisrael said. He says they came to Moshe and they asked Moshe. Moshe said, Chayecha. He said, I promise you, everything you saw in that picture is true. That I have Birkat. But the Torah changed me. The Torah changed me. I changed. So I once wanted to say, what's the pshat? Even if the Medrash is not, it is a Medrash, and it's brought down a mini swamp. The lesson of the Medrash is that the job of the Torah is to change the human being. And could be Moshe, who was the most eternally strong, he embodied that change of the Torah. He embodied that he was changed from the Torah. That's why Fakert, the opposite. Moshe embodied a changed human being from the Torah. That's who he represented. That's the B'Shegam Hu Basar. B'Shegam Hu Basar, the Pasuk is talking about the human inclinations. That's the Remez L'Moshe Min HaTorah. So in a sense, the job of the whole Torah is to make us into Pirkei Avos people. That's the job of the entire Torah. And when we do tshuva, we're trying to become more like a Pirkei Avos person. That's what the tshuva is doing. It's not to get rid of the chet. That, of course, you got to do. Trying to get closer to what a perfected human being is supposed to be. That's why Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai is found as like done with the Pirkei Avos. Because that's Moshe's legacy, is Pirkei Avos. Moshe got the Torah on our Sinai to make all of us Pirkei Avos people. That was the... And that's why when Moshe's Niftel, we don't learn, because we're supposed to be thinking about Moshe, that is Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos is thinking about Moshe Rabbeinu, thinking about the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the job. And that's what we all have to think about Chodesh Elul. And as we go into the Yemei Ratzon, we should not be satisfied with just clapping our chet. We should not be satisfied with that. We should only feel any sense of satisfaction if we feel we are really changing. That we're going to make different type of decisions. We're going to have different perspectives. We're going to have different desires. That's the avoid of Chodesh Elul. And that's the shofar of Chodesh Elul. The shofar of Chodesh Elul is to make us into people that don't look for an Egel Hazav. They look for an Esrog and a Luluf. They look for to do Chesed. Rabbi Yisrael, I want to wish all of you, first I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity of being Ma'or each other. And I want to wish all of you a Ksivich Simateva, a Gutti Ben Shtiar. It should be a year of Refuah Shleim at the Gans Klal Yisrael. We shouldn't know of any machlos and takolos and ktotos. We should be blessed with a year of Ava and achas, the clown soul, and with the Bias Koyel Tzedek, the mayor of Yemen.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank
you.
Shkaya Shagach.
Yeah, it looks like Erich and after the tshuva.
You're starting Erich now?
I have to wait.
We learn values. We learn values.